Okay, I'm calling the meeting to order. This is the meeting of the KPFA LSB and Town Hall meeting on August 18th, 2018. Calling the meeting to order at approximately 11:30 a.m. rather. And I'm going to start with our group agreements. Just to remind everybody that these, which we've just recently found, actually comport with the rules for using the senior center as well. They have their own rules that actually are pretty much along the lines of our rules. And this is the group agreements that we've made as a board, and that's to speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes, focus on facts, issues, and proposals, no name-calling or personal insults, listen to each other with care, honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator. Honor individual time allocations per share and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. If a situation arises when our participant is not willing to honor the above agreements, after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave.
I'm calling the roll. Adams, Sharon.
Here.
Adams present. Ahmad Anderson, requested excused absence. Marilla Arguelles. Marilla Arguelles present. William Campisi. William asked to be excused. Chris Corey.
Present.
Chris Corey present. Brian Crowell.
Here.
Brian Crowell here. Christina Huggins. Christina Huggins present. Scott Olson. Scott Olson absent. And if he comes on, Carol, will you let me know?
Absolutely.
Thank you. TM Scruggs requested excused absence. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Aki Tanaka here. Ramses Tian Nichols.
Present.
Ramses Tian Nichols present. Carol Travis.
Here.
Carol Travis here. Andrea Turner. Andrea Turner absent. Tom Borges.
Here.
Tom Borges here. Carol Wolfley, myself here. Lisa Detmer. Lisa asked for an excused absence. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony Fest here. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs here. Tim Lynch.
Here.
Tim Lynch here. Richard Walensky asked for an excused absence. Steve Zeltzer. Steve Zeltzer here. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 here. We do have a quorum. Madam Chairman, I move to... Oh, yes. Quincy.
Quincy is one of the unofficial members, and
yeah,
there should be asked if he's here or not.
That's right. He requested an excused absence. Okay. I move to excuse the people who requested excused absence.
Motion passes.
Opposed?
Oh, opposed.
No opposed, just the motion passes.
Okay. Madam Chairman, I move that we accept the agenda.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion? Steve?
Yeah, I would propose that we have public comment after the reports, the first report, that there be public comment of 30 minutes, which is required under the bylaws. That's number one. Number two, I have a report from the tech meetings that we've had. I would like that to have propose to put that before the Pacifica report. That's my proposal.
Okay. Yes, go ahead, Carol. Get her a mic.
Hello? Okay. I didn't understand your motion. And I thought you had two things in it, and I think it probably should be divided. But the first was what, Steve, that the public comments come when? My understanding is the public comments is the town hall meeting.
No.
After 1:15.
No, under the is this on? Yeah, under the bylaws, each local station board meeting is required to have a minimum of 30 minutes of public comment. This is not a merged meeting of the town hall. This is a separate meeting, and this is how it was presented at our last meeting when we agreed to it. This is a local station board meeting, and then we will have a separate town hall meeting.
Okay,
so under the bylaws, it's required to have 30 minutes. There are people here who have to leave early. They don't want to wait 2 or 3 hours, whatever, so they should have a chance to have public comment under the normally.
Thank you. I got time. The answer to my question. The other question was, what was the other thing? I mean, you had two separate things.
The other thing is I have a report from the tech committee. We've had meetings, and there's a report. So I would put that before the discussion on Pacifica board business.
Okay, well, regarding the tech information, I would say that we have a very abbreviated meeting in order to allow time for the town hall, and we have to be out by a certain point in time. So we can move the tech report to the next meeting. We don't really have time on the agenda for it. That came up at the last minute, and we need to move forward with business. Excuse me, hold on just a sec. Carol?
Yeah, I'd like to... Steve, I understand
Hello?
This may not be satisfactory to you, but I do want to explain the intention of the town hall is to give the public a chance to have comments. And there is a yellow sheet over at the sign-in table, and the yellow sheet has a place for public comment sign-in. So if you would like to speak, we will be having our public comment sign-in, and that's a time certain that the town hall will begin at 1 o'clock. And so sign in for public comments is planned for 1 o'clock. And also there will be breakout groups. So if people have a topic that we really want to hear from people and we want to give you a chance to talk with each other and work together. I know some people have contacted me about proposing different groups. So it's possible to have a breakout group about an issue that is important to you today, and we will do that after our whole group sharing. So I would like to move that we accept the agenda and go forward with our LSB meeting reports and then have our public comments during the town hall part.
Thank you. Yes, Tim.
So just as a point of information, is the town hall meeting considered part of the LSB meeting?
Yes, it is.
For recording purposes?
Thank you.
Just so people understand, it will be recorded. It will be a part of the official record. And I know that people have very strong feelings and want to make comments, and they will have an opportunity there. Please sign up for comments. So you get frequently at our regular meetings, we don't get to comments until 1 o'clock. So it's not an arduous thing that we're trying to do here. And, yes, well, who is next, Aki, on the stack? We're having discussion now. Okay, she made a motion to second it. Anthony.
I would move that we go to public comment promptly. There's a far larger public members of the public present here than normally. Some may not be able to wait until 1 o'clock or 1:15 or whenever we get to it. I wonder if there could be a show of hands from any members of the public who cannot wait until the designated town hall time and would like to comment now. I see two hands, three hands. Could we make 2 minutes per member of the public who need to comment now? That's my motion.
There's a motion on the floor. Yes, Carol was next, I believe.
I think that Steve moved to amend the agenda. And that went, there was a motion on the floor to accept the agenda a long time ago. Steve moved to amend the agenda. And I didn't hear a second for that, but he did move to it. And after he answered my issues, I just want to say, Steve, I would second having your technical report after the PNB report, if that were a distinct amendment. But if it's not, you don't have my second.
I'd like my motion as to public comment to be considered an amendment Steve's motion.
We have a motion already on the floor that we need to vote on before
we move. I'm proposing to amend Steve's motion.
Yes.
I don't have anything
Tim.
From Steve.
So
I need any motions in writing.
I understand there's strong feelings that people would like to express, but I don't think that using two portions of public comment is the best use of our time. We have some budget things and some other important matters of before the board that are our mandated responsibility to deal with, and that taking up, we have a town hall for that has been advertised as a public comment where the board is here to listen to public comment. If we have public comment and then a town hall, we're not going to get to our business. And the budget, for example, is some serious business that we are charged with. We're mandated to deal with that under our bylaws.
Thank you. We have a motion that's been amended. It's on the floor, so let's vote on the amendment that Steve. Can I have it written down? We need to have it on paper. And I would take the opportunity to welcome Grace Aaron, who is on the Pacifica National Board, who is attending our meeting right now. Hi, Grace. And Ken Aaron, hi. Welcome to our meeting.
Oh, good question. And Andrea is present.
You have to read that into the record.
And Andrea, let the record show that Andrea Turner is present.
Yeah.
Two. This is the motion from Anthony that is written down. 2 minutes per speaker at public comment for those unable to be present for the town hall.
Do I have a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay, on the amendment.
I would like a roll call if we can do that too, please.
Okay, ask for roll call.
Adams, Sharon. Marilla Arguelles. Sharon, clarifying, you want me to come back to you? Okay. Chris Corey? Brian Crowell?
Yes, ma'am.
This is your voting on the amendment.
Abstain.
Brian, abstain. Chris Corey, yes. Christina Huggins? Christina, no. Aki Tanaka. Aki, yes. Ramses. Tian Nichols, yes. Carol Travis.
No.
Carol Travis, no. Andrea Turner. Andrea Turner, no. Tom Borges.
Yes.
Tom Borges, yes. Carol Wolfley, pass. Lisa Detmer. Oops, not here. Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Anthony, yes. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Sabrina, no. Tim Lynch? Tim Lynch, no. Steve Zeltzer?
Yes.
Steve Zeltzer, yes. Carol Wolfley, coming back to, no. And Sharon Adams?
Abstain.
Okay. So, yes, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Abstain, we have 2. The motion passes.
Okay, could we have the people line up to speak who were who said they couldn't stay after the minutes? Okay, well, first the minutes, right? Okay, so we're going to approve the minutes. Has everybody had an opportunity? Pardon, Tim.
So, I understand that we voted on an amendment to Steve's motion that we were going to include the 2 minutes on, but I'm also unclear. Is Steve's motion about both public comment and technology committee report?
It was the amendment that passed was Anthony's.
An amendment
that did
to
not
the motion,
include...
but the motion didn't pass yet.
No.
We have to vote on the
agenda first, and, right. And if okay. He wants us to vote on his motion, which...
His motion will come first before the agenda.
Right, the amendment to the agenda. Right. I know, I understand that. So, you know, I mean, technically it was a friendly amendment to Steve's motion, and he wrote it up, but I'll let it go. So, Steve's motion was that he wanted to, the part of it, it included two parts. Did you write it up? Could you write it down for us, please? So the secretary has a copy of it? Steve's motion to have public comment as a part of the regular meeting.
Well, it is part of the
meeting. And that's been amended by his...
That's what he wrote. That's what you wrote.
I accepted his amendment, which is also written down. His amendment was that we have the people who can't speak. Anthony's amendment was that people who can't speak in the community meeting have an opportunity to speak during public comment here.
Right. That motion passed already. Okay. The amendment to the motion to the agenda did pass. The amendment to the amendment, as it were. But I don't have. Is there
so
a new amendment?
The other there one other amendment I made, and I'm going to write it out, that we have a report of the tech committee, and I don't have a problem having that after the report from the Pacifica board, and the other. Make another motion, and that is that we have
We're one motion at a time, please. Could you please bring up the motion that you just made? Motion to may have a report of the tech committee after the Pacifica report. Since they're bifurcated, do I have a second on that particular motion?
Second.
All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions?
Are we counting? Did anyone count?
Oh, sure.
No.
Okay, this is on the motion for the Tech Committee report after the Pacifica report. The report of the Tech Committee after the Pacifica reports. So, all those in favor?
We did that. It passed. It's okay.
It passed.
Okay.
The motion is that we accept new business Assange resolution, a resolution in defense of Julian Assange.
It's on the agenda. It's unnecessary motion. Yeah, I know. Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
So, thank you. All those in favor?
Okay. One, keep your hands up.
All is opposed.
One
opposed. Abstentions. The agenda is passed as amended. Approving the minutes. Have people on the board have an opportunity? I mean, Carol sent the minutes out days ago, many days ago. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Second.
On the minutes being approved.
Okay, keep your hands up. 11, yes.
Opposed?
One opposed.
And abstentions?
One abstention.
Okay, so the motion passes to approve the minutes.
I got you too.
Was I here? I can't say yes if I wasn't here.
Yeah, I was in you either. Oh, I should have voted no.
So we have 2 minutes per speaker. We'll have people
unable to attend.
For those unable to attend, please line up for the for their comments. There were four people, I understand, that could not attend the town hall meeting because they couldn't stay. So we'd like to have their public comments now. And I would like to ask, yes, Tim?
I see a camera pointed, and I don't know that anybody's been asked permission to video record.
Does everybody on the board agree to be filmed, or do I have objections?
I object, personally.
No, we will ask that you not film it then. It's still a part of our board meeting, and no. We said no. It's our board meeting. Do people want to vote on it?
Yep. Let's vote.
Let's vote on it.
Let's make a motion to not have video at the meeting.
Do I have a second? Do I have a second?
At the LSV meeting.
Second?
Yeah, can we have discussion? Can we have a discussion on this? Can we have a discussion on this?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that if the public members who are speaking here want the right to be videotaped so their comments can be on videotape, they should have that right with permission.
1 minute.
If people on the board don't want to be videotaped, that's their right as well. But during public comment, I think it is the right of the public members who are speaking who want to be videotaped.
So how do you propose that we do that? One person doesn't want to be videotaped and the other one does.
Oh, right. No crosstalk. Just be called on. I'll call on Carol Travis.
The one problem with that is that it gives a false impression of the meeting. So that if anybody has different kinds of comments, only the people who, agree to. And so it gives a very skewed notion of what happened at the meeting. And, you know, since I'm presuming, given the hand raising, that we're going to vote to not have video at the meeting. So that's my objection to having individuals. They can go outside. You can go outside and make your statement outside. But otherwise, in here, it gives the impression that these are the speakers at the meeting, and that's the tenor of the meeting, and it's a misrepresentation.
This is not a new rule that we've imposed. This has been consistent. So I'd like to vote on the motion. No videotaping during meeting. It's been seconded. Tim, go ahead.
We have a public record on audio of the meeting, which will be posted at kpftx.org, which will contain all comments. So I don't think that the video is necessary, and I agree with Carol that since not everyone will want to be videoed, that it can present a misleading representation of the meeting.
Thank you, Tim. So on the motion, no videotaping. Who's in favor?
No.
Roll call.
Okay. This is taking away time for public comments. Okay, repeat the motion. It has no name on it. Report of... Oops. No videotaping during LSB meeting.
Yes means you don't want videotaping, to clarify.
Sharon Adams?
Yes.
Marilla Arguelles?
Abstain.
Chris Corey? Brian Crowell? Christina Huggins?
Yes.
Aki Tanaka? Ramses? Carol Travis?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Carol Wolfley, yes. Anthony Fest?
No.
Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Tim Lynch?
Yes.
Steve Zeltzer?
No.
All right. The motion, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, Tom Voorhees.
Tom, I apologize. I didn't. Tom Voorhees, no. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes. 3, no.
The motion passes.
Motion passes. 1, abstain.
Thank you. So public comment now, the four people that are not able to stay. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Sure.
Is this on?
Okay.
It's on? Yeah, okay. Hi, yeah. My name is Nazreen Kadir. Good morning. I know many of you here. First, thanks for accommodating this. On my way here, I heard on KPFA from David McBurney that a close friend of ours just passed away. So there is a memorial service today, which I had not known about. This is the reason I would like to leave early. I realize it's a lot of finesse to get this done, and I appreciate that. However, I'm here because of an email I received from Bonnie Faulkner yesterday regarding the Guns and Butter show, with an accompanying email to her from the general manager, Quincy McCoy, a very brief dismissal of her program. And so I just want to briefly say I am concerned about the decision. I'm concerned about how it was made. I've never met Mr. McCoy. I did reply to Bonnie's email and copied him, whereupon I received an out-of-office reply that he's on vacation until next week. So whoever he reports to, whether it's the PNB board representative or at LSB or both, I mean, I just would like to say that Guns and Butter is not a program we want to chop at this time. I realize we have financial difficulties, but there's several other programs I can think of that we could sacrifice, but not guns and butter. We're here. We are at a time where the drum wars are beating again. Yesterday, we heard on cable news, no less, Andre Mitchell interviewing Eric Prince, the Blackwater guy, who's provided a proposal to Trump to privatize the war in Afghanistan. The drums are beating for Iran to attack Iran. Guns and Butter is one of the programs where we hear the truth. And we hear in-depth analysis, and I beg you, I urge you, please convey to the board, the people who made this decision, that this is really not the way to do this, and they really need to reconsider this. Thank you.
Thank you. Could we have your name, and would you introduce yourself when you come to the mic, everybody else? What is your name?
I did.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
It's on the yellow sheet. My name is Nazreen Kadir. I'm a longtime supporter of KPFA.
We just didn't hear it, that's all. Thank you. Appreciate it. We just want to make sure that it goes on the record.
My name is Cheryl Jensen. I'm a member of 9/11 Truth, and I wanted to make sure that you realize that this is censorship. And the first alarming thing I found out about what was happening here is I tuned in to hear Dr. Humphreys talk about vaccination. She's done a lot of research. And that was canceled. Somebody in the management of KPFA canceled this program. A critical amount of information that she was giving. I actually managed to find out where I could hear that information, not KPFA, because KPFA had censored it. Now, I find out that Bonnie has been censored, and all of her programs have been canceled and taken out of the system. This is outrageous. It is outrageous. Bonnie is one of the few people that has dealt in depth with our history. And whoever made this decision should step down. They don't belong at KPFA.
Hi, my name is Cindy Ma. I have been a longtime supporter of KPFA, and I also received this email from Bonnie Faulkner yesterday announcing the cancellation of her show, which I feel is reflects very poorly on KPFA, actually. There's a lot of new alternative media outlets out there nowadays, and I think the public is really eager for truth and uncensorship, and KPFA has stood for free speech media. This decision, I think, will reflect poorly on KPFA and the integrity of what this station stands for, which I find is very valuable to have free speech radio. There are other outlets for alternative media now, but I feel that KPFA still has an important role in free media. And so I would also urge the KPFA board and the management to reconsider this decision. I feel that it may not be good for the reputation of KPFA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Max Blanchet. I am pleased to attend today. It's a good meeting, good turnout. Excellent. I have some quick comments to make. I understand why that the fundraiser, the summer fundraiser, were shortened. The volunteers could not attend in the usual way. We were invited to attend a weekend, and I did show up for that Saturday, but access to the telephone room was locked. I waited 1 hour, nobody showed up. At the very least, when we are invited formally to attend things, people should be present to open the door for us. I'll stop here. But this thing was shortened under the... Okay. The meeting was shortened under duress. There was staff duress. I understand that. I appreciate that. It's a decision of the organization. That's fine with me. But when you invite people, at the very least, as a matter of courtesy, the access to the room there should be open. Okay? That's all. And we did attend, however, that last Friday. And it was good. I met my friends. It's always a good opportunity to meet friends who attend these sorts of things and to meet staff members. You learn things about KPFA. It's very important to have that sort of attendance. I'll stop here. My second comment has to do with the town hall. Good God, I attended a town hall meeting probably at least 10 years ago, two of them. One right here in Berkeley, another one in San Francisco, well attended. I think according to the bylaws, we have to have these things regularly. I don't remember the exact timing, but at the very least, we should have them. And number two, these things should be announced on the air.
Thank you.
I found about this one by accident. It seems to me that they should be announced.
Thank you. You've spoken for 2 minutes. Thank you very much. We hear you. And let me just say that we are going to make every effort to continue having town hall meetings going forward every quarter. So, and it was announced on the air that the town hall meeting, there were carts that were run on KPFA. I guess you missed them. There were carts that were run.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. I appreciate that. And did we have, are you not able to wait?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, and did you sign up on the sheet?
I was not apprised of that.
Oh, please sign up over here afterwards, okay?
I will.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
So I have never attended one of these meetings. This is the first time I have come out to make any kind of public comment in this type of venue. And I am astounded.
Could I have your name? Sorry.
I'm astounded and horrified by the fact that you have cut Guns and Butter and removed its entire traces on your website. I cannot tell you how horrified I am. And I would like to suggest that this board initiate a vote of no confidence towards Quincy McCoy. Not simply for this decision in which he was involved in, but for other actions where he has shown a double standard. I will point to one. I pointed out to Mr. McCoy that he had transmitted an article that was factually incorrect. I gave him the proof that it was incorrect. The reporters themselves, doing the reporting, admitted that they had no verification for this article. I pointed this out to him. This email came to me by accident. And Mr. McCoy refused to take any action, refused to do a retraction, and completely dismissed the issue. And I want to hold up that double standard relative to what he did in clearing off an entire show. Thank you.
We didn't get your name, sir. Excuse me. You're okay.
Hi, I didn't sign up. I was going to speak after, but I may go in and out.
Are you not able to stay for the whole meeting? This was only for people who can't stay.
I'll be in and out in the afternoon, so that's why I didn't want to miss a chance. So,
people that speak now cannot speak later then, so go ahead.
Okay. This reminded me of Stalin era of Soviet Union. Like Stalin, take all the pictures out of Trotsky. One by one, no record in the Soviet Union. It's taking off her past program from the archive is like erasing all the evidence so she never existed in the history. This is exactly what Stalin did, and exactly what the KPFA is doing now.
Thank you. I would like to remind people there will be an official record of all of this and the town hall meeting on recording, and people will be have it available. So we're going to move on to the budget. And Maria, would you please go over the budget with us?
Well, let me just say I'm the treasurer of the LSB, and so Maria is going to pass out, just for the people in the audience, I know the LSB knows that. My name is Sharon Adams, and so Maria is passing out the budget. So I guess while she's doing that, let me just get a few notes.
Can we identify who Maria is?
Excellent point, Tom. Maria Negrete is the business manager of KPFA. And she also does a lot of work just in general for the entire network. So I do want to say that I did meet with Maria, and I do know that the budget is somewhat tentative at this point. Let me just say that because maybe people in the audience are not aware that quite a few people have resigned or left KPFA, and particularly in the financial arena. We've had two senior accountants that have resigned, and the CFO has resigned. And also, while this was happening, there has been an upgrade of the budgeting system. So there's been a lot going on, a lot that Maria has had to deal with, and she has produced a budget, staying up late and getting up early. But I just want people that are at least, you know, people that are here to understand that this is a tentative budget. It's not totally final. And also, we will be having workshops, which I did put out a doodle poll, so that people that want to come to the workshops, because what we're doing now is just an overview of the budget. It's a proposed budget. We will vote on the budget at our September meeting. And what's happening right now is that we will be having workshops so that we individuals of the LSB can meet directly with Maria and go over our questions and concerns. So I just wanted to lay that out as a little bit of background before we get in. And so just to repeat again, we are not voting on the budget today. We're voting on it in September. This is just proposed. We're still going to do more work on it between now and September. Maria.
Yeah, as Sharon said, we'll have the workshops, and that is for LSB members, so just to make it clear. Okay, well, let's see. I wanted to start with just to let you guys know how the summer drive went. And what Sharon was saying is that after 15 years, our database manager has left. So we are kind of working around trying to get the information off of our database. So I don't have the usual reports, the pretty reports that we give out. So just on this one piece of paper shows a summer drive. The goal was 350. We came in at 304. $19,000 came in post-drive as of Thursday. So it doesn't have Fridays counted in. That came in through the website. So it had a very slow start. We did amazing on the last day, almost $59,000. So just wanted to give that information. Let's see. So the budget itself, it's the same as it always is. This is my ninth baby, 9 years having to, you know, give this thing out. It is, Sharon has seen it, others have seen it. It's huge, 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 huge. And all of this, by the way, all of this is hand done. So it's not automated other than formulas here or there. To start with the revenue, and again, this is an overall, I'm not going to explain everything in detail. The overview on the revenue, I'm expecting, budgeting 3.866. where I expect that we will be at 4.5 for the end of this year. So million, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Line 25, column T, so T25. And then on Y25 is what I expect for the end of this year. We were good enough or lucky enough to have gotten a big bequest this year, so it's not huge, but we, you know, it boosted our revenue. The next part is just it's a summary on the operating expenses. I propose that we are going to be lower in our expenses by $759,000. I should probably explain to some of you who may or may not know. We had Michael Yoshida has left. He retired back in January. We have a new chief engineer. He is redoing studios. He is making it easier for all of the programmers to do their job. But even more important for me is that he has reduced our telephone expenses by thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. We used to have our ISDN lines, which is what they use to record people from a distance, was nationally, in the nation, was $2 a minute for that. And, I mean, every time I'd see that bill, it just gave me shivers. And he has now brought it down to, like, a few hundred dollars for a month. So it's just amazing. So that's why, you know, and even though we're spending money because we're trying, I mean, this building is 26, 27 years old. We're trying to improve the infrastructure. And, I mean, we're still in analog in the building. And you know, when I'm not a technical person other than to hear two things, how many problems there are and how much things have improved since. So anyway, so that's a great thing. Central services are what they are. That's line 36. It's just... it is what it is. And right now I have a very optimistic budget of $374,000 surplus. Oh, excuse me. That was not that. It's 290. God, I can't even read the numbers. 298,756. And I am looking at line 59. And you will see that includes from line 45 down to 54, a significant amount of infrastructure improvements. So there are a lot of good changes going on inside the building. And then the rest of it is all details on the budgets of each of the expenses. So I don't know where to go from here because I've not...
Question?
Hello?
Yeah.
I guess we can take questions.
Okay.
Are there any questions for Maria on the budget report? Anthony was first, and then.
Hello, Maria. That bequest you mentioned a moment ago, how much was it, and what time of year did it come in?
It came in around springtime, and it was $290. And it was to KPFA.
Steve?
Yeah, a couple of questions on the recent fund drive. I've got a number of people concerned about the not having a phone room available so people could call in and answer phones. That's one question, why there wasn't a phone room. And secondly, I had a report that the 800 number was out of service for a period of time. People were calling in, and when they reached it, they were told to call back. I don't know if you know anything about that, but I'm concerned about that. I mean, if that's the case, there's a problem with the 800 number. And the third thing is, what do you figure is the loss of income from canceling Guns and Butter? Because I know they were a major fundraiser. So what was their previous contribution of donations in the last fund drive, and what was the loss of that program?
Okay, so regarding the phone room, it was a decision because of our database manager left. When the phone room is open, currently the way things were being done, the little pieces of paper, those little card strips that get handwritten in, all of those have to be hand input into the database. And without our database manager, it was just presenting us with an overload for the people who were there. And that was explained by the general manager in an email. With regards to the 800 number, every time it happened, somebody of the management staff would call, and we never received any problems. So I don't know, you know, I can't speak to the specifics of what you're talking about. Guns and Butter. They made about at the most about $2,000 per show. So we're talking however much that is. They have two shows, a fund drive, I believe. So, pardon me?
4,000.
Yeah, 4,000 per fund drive. So anyway, it's not significant.
Thank you. Do I have any more questions, Maria? Carol.
I'm just looking at the projections under the 2018 in the revenue and under in the expenses, and I guess I'm not good at reading this. So, and I didn't, and going to the total in the T column, 43 T, are we, so you're projecting a $374,000 okay income. Is that right? And what is the reason for the lower numbers?
Okay, well, actually, that is a line 43 is a subtotal. The actual income income surplus is line 59, and it's 298. And so, you know, it's always good to under budget with your revenue. So under, you know, what is it? Under promise, over deliver. Mm-hmm. So I'm being as conservative as I can with those numbers. Also, part of what's happening too is this fall fund drive, it's not ideal for an accounting purpose, but the fund drive is going to straddle two fiscal years. So we're taking some of the income from 2018 is going to go into 2019. But anyway, and then the lowering of the expenses, just as I said, I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars in phone bills. I mean, and I won't name names, but just to give you an idea, somebody accidentally left the ISDN line on for 23 hours.
Oh, my God.
That was a $5,000 phone bill, you know. And that's, yeah, and it's not that person's fault. I mean, usually they were $3,000, you know. It's just for one phone line. So we are going into the digital age at KPFA. So, you know, hold on, and things are going to be greatly improved.
Thank you, Maria. And who's next? Chris. Chris was next.
Maria, thanks. This is great. I'm familiar with your practice of underestimating revenues and appreciate it. It makes it easier to hit targets and it creates a more realistic budget. However, there's two items on this that I wanted to ask about. And that they are lines 30 and 63. So you're projecting that administration and expenses will fall 20%. And I'm curious as to why you're anticipating that. And on line 63, you're anticipating – I added in all of the payroll taxes to that to create a more balanced number for 63, and it still is 10% below what Or is it? Is it 10% below? I don't have the fiscal 2018 to compare to here. So, but it appears to be. Is it about 10% lower than last year's? And if so, what's the explanation for that?
Okay. Well, as Sharon explained, we get a lot of our numbers from national office, and one of the numbers that we get are from salaries. And they are tremendously short-staffed over there, and new people who don't quite know the system or whatever. So they have not booked any of our payroll numbers. Mm. And so those numbers there, and I should have explained that, I'm sorry, as those numbers there actually are estimated based on what the funding has been, but I don't have the breakdown yet. So anyway, let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, sorry, that was for 2018. So those numbers are my best guess,
okay,
unfortunately.
Okay.
I think you had another
question.
Oh.
63.
No, line 30.
30 and 63.
Yeah,
so,
30.
Oh, she was talking about 63.
Oh, 30 is administrative expense, and the reason it's going down so much is because of the telephone bills.
Telecommunications.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sharon Adams.
I just want to thank you, Maria, for all the work that you did. And also, I just wanted to say, because, you know, we go through the budget issue, you know, every August. And I remember last year there was a lot of discussion. And I just want to say, looking at, so we're in, okay, so fiscal year 2017, wait, let me just ask you this. What, when you have FY17? Okay, that's what I somehow thought. I was like, fiscal year, okay, so when I'm looking at line Y, and it says FY17, it should be FY18. Okay, so our projected for this year is that we're going to be $344,000 in the positive. Okay, that's our projected for this fiscal year 2018, which ends September 30th. And our projected surplus for KPFA for fiscal year 2018, which ends on September 30th, 2018, okay, the projected surplus is $344,000. And I just want to comment and note that last year, when Maria says she tends to be on the conservative side, we had budgeted a surplus of $23,000. So we're basically $300,000 over our budget last year. I just wanted to point that out.
So Tim is next.
I just wanted to comment on the when you say we're saving numbers, I just on telephones, I just wanted to, I did a little quick math here, and according to my calculations, we're saving $61,556 on telephones, and I think that's worth calling out. As I'm also, as a programmer and someone who works at the station, very excited to see $95,400 slated for infrastructure improvements and digital upgrades within the station. They are long, long overdue. Our air board, for example, has not been made in years, and just getting a simple upgrade for a pot, you know, the volume control, is tremendously difficult. So I'm really happy about this, and I also want to second what Sharon just said and commend you and the team, the management team at KPFA, for bringing us in, 10 times over our projected surplus? Thank you.
I do want to explain something, as you say, team. We are a team. We hold many, many meetings. There are many times that you could walk by Quincy's office and there will be six of us in there, because we bring in the engineering staff, we bring in the development staff, the business staff. I mean, we work as a team. And I believe KPFA is just doing gangbusters. And everybody loves our programming. We're doing well. We pay all of our bills, every single one of our bills. We pay our central services. We are not behind on anything, with the exception of the pension that everybody knows about. But that is not KPFA's fault.
So can I ask a follow-up? Can I ask a follow-up? Or no?
I had a follow-up about the surplus. So does that surplus stay with KPFA to be reinvested in this fiscal year, or does it go to, you know, is there a chance that Pacifica National will take it to pay off their debts?
Well, the surplus we have to, we have earmarked for the pension that we have to pay. And we're lucky enough that we can do that.
Thank you. Hi, Maria. I wanted to ask, I'm concerned about our tax, charitable tax designation and wanting to check in about, that was the audits for 2017, I believe, are due. And so I wondered what is completed and what is not completed, and how is that looking, and do you think there will be an extension?
I couldn't talk about the extension. I have no idea. I don't know if you all are know about this group called NIDA, and I forget what they stand for. Tom Livingston, our executive director, has hired a accounting staff, accounting company. I'm not. They specifically work with radio stations and nonprofit radio stations, and they are kind of leading up, trying to clean up national office and some of the other stations. They are also working on the audit. Just having some personal knowledge, being in such close proximity to the national office, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done for 2017. A lot of stuff. No, we have, I mean, we're still working on stuff, but yeah. I don't know, maybe Chris can speak about NIDA if you want to, but it's, I don't know, because I'm not, we just got requested a couple of days ago, everything we need to give in for the audit.
What's KPFA's responsibility in relation to that organization? Are you doing it, or are they doing it, or for KPFA?
Oh, no, we're doing it. I'm doing it.
Okay.
Everything for audit?
For KPFA, yes.
Yes, no, I do
and
it.
Then and then you just turn it in to them.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Is the next talkie? Steve? He's taking it.
Yeah, the couple points. First, can you give us the number of full-time employees and part-time employees at the station? What's changed in that? Because there are a lot of people apparently have left, or some people have left. And also, can you give a breakdown by department at KPFA what the staffing is? And third, has there been a you were mentioning about the CFO or the firm that was hired. That was a savings, wasn't it, from the past?
Yeah.
That's what I heard. That was a savings and cost from the previous situation.
First of all, when it comes to details, we explained that this is a preliminary and all details. I believe, Sharon, you sent out an email, right, or something, or somebody did, about all questions, all specific questions will be answered at the workshops, thank you. And then when it comes to the CFO, I'm not part of the national office, so I don't know how much the CFO made or how much we're paying NIDA. So that's not a question for me.
Thank you.
Chris Corey?
I can actually answer a couple of those questions in general terms. There was a cost savings associated with moving from our in-house staff to the out-of-house staff at NIDA. I was kind of skeptical about how that whole thing would go, because the warnings from our former CFO were that we wouldn't be able to get accounting, or we wouldn't be able to get the audit company to cooperate with us to get the audits done without him present. And so, you know, the fact that NIDA is handling everything, the accounting and the audits, eliminated that problem. But in addition, they're doing a whole bunch of other stuff that I think is quite beneficial to the entire organization. For example, unifying the accounting system. If we have a single platform, then it makes reporting way more coherent. and more timely. And it should just be a tremendous, not only a tremendous savings to us in the long term, but it should make it far easier for us to see what's actually happening on a real-time basis. I wanted to just add one comment to what Maria said about the fall fund drive, and that's that it always overlaps the fiscal year. So this isn't like a unique problem for this fiscal year. It always ends up, part of the revenue always ends up being reported in the previous year and then, or in the current year, and then part of it ends up in the next year. It happens every year, so.
Thank you. Just to clarify, Aki is taking the stack for me, so you look in his direction.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, I just want to make, and I hadn't made that clear to everyone. Thank you.
Just one clarification about the fund drives. We always, lately, or the last, I don't know, about 7 years or so, we tried ending them on the last day of September or as close to it. And it's true. What happens with all fund drives is we account for 1 year's worth of revenue coming in. So, as an example, if, you know, what did we just have? The July fund drive, the summer fund drive. We will continue to account for, I mean, we receive money even if somebody sends a payment in 3 years later for this fund drive. But what I'm saying is, in terms of budgeting purposes, I take 1 year's worth. So the fall fund drives always will, the majority, some of the money will always go into the next fiscal year. But we do, we're very, very, very lucky that at KPFA, we have about a 63-64% fulfillment rate right after the fund drive is over. So if that makes sense. So if we have a $100,000 fund drive, as to make numbers easy, $63,000 of it comes in right away. There are stations that don't even have that as a full year fulfillment. We are at a 90% fulfillment over a whole year. So that's incredible.
Thank you, Maria. Who is next? Andrea?
Yes, hi. Good seeing you again, Maria. Thank you so much for all the hard work that you and the staff, the team, put together for us. I just I'm concerned about the impressions that are during our public comments about guns and butter being cut. And we said that it was a total of about $4,000 that they brought in. I'm concerned that the cut in the program wasn't based on the funds generated. And so people, there are other standards that I'm sure Quincy has developed for program cuts. And I can't wait to hear his report on maybe looking at the policies and procedures as to why programs are cut. But more specifically, that they're not cut based on the funds generated during fund drive or revenue. You know, some programs have low revenue brought in, but they're still on. So maybe you can address that because it is budgetary and it may leave the impression that guns and butter was reduced based on the funds that they generate, and I want that to be clear on the process.
And thank you for that. As the business person, I look at all numbers, and I sometimes have suggestions like, hey, this isn't doing so well. Absolutely not the case in this removing this show. Absolutely not the case. It did not have anything to do with it. It's a personnel issue, and that's it. That's it.
Anthony.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's the status of the work to fill Chris Stelick's job?
We are also, we were using a piece of software called MEMSIS, Membership Systems, by a company called Herlick Database. And that's what Chris was accustomed to. It is extremely clunky. It's not user-friendly. I couldn't run my own reports. And we are transitioning over to a new membership systems. And it's one of the things that's going to happen is we also have changed our credit card processing system. And we are going to be moving on to computers in the phone room. So as the volunteers bring in or, you know, start noting everything, those credit cards are going to be run immediately. So we do not need a full-time database manager.
Thank you. I'm going to hand to our treasurer here.
Well, I just want to point out to people that maybe still have questions that we are having the workshops, and I would request that people sign up for the doodle poll. I can, yeah, board members sign up for the doodle poll. I can send it out again maybe, or I don't know, because we need to set the dates so that we can set them. So if people sign up, we can have a lot of questions answered here, because I just want to note that on our agenda at 12:15, which is already passed, we were supposed to move on to the reports, which I think members of our audience may be interested to hear the Pacifica reports.
Aki?
Sure. This session is taking a little bit longer than, you know, since we're delayed and we have a town hall coming. I think we should cut the stack at, I think Steve was the last person, so we have three more people. That's what I suggest. Otherwise.
Okay. Is that acceptable to people?
Yeah.
I just want to add one thing about the workshops. If you have questions, please send them to me in writing. I am going to put all of the questions together and answer them all in one email or one conversation at the workshop. I'm not going to individually respond to everybody.
Thank you. And Carol?
I wanted to clarify, actually, NETA, whatever it is the National Education Television Association, and it's an association of public that services public broadcasting organizations, including radio, even though it was originally set up as a television thing, and it has a very large department that helps stations manage their finances, so they're very adept at this. But they are not our auditors. They are working with our auditors and helping prepare the audit statement, but we have auditors who are different. Rogers, I think, is the name of them. I should know I'm on the audit committee, but I'm old and have a, you know, memory lapse. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Was it Steve? Steve?
Yeah, Carol just answered my question, so.
And then Steve would be the last in the stack.
Yeah, I was wondering, is Kevin Cartwright a permanent hire?
No, Kevin is a interim.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on now to the Pacifica National Board Directors reports, and I would ask Carol Travis.
I'm going to stand up since I normally would sit down, but because we're not just, there's so many of you who have come, I think it's more respectful to all of you to stand up. Is my mic on?
Yes.
Okay. I've only been on the Pacifica National Board since January. Since I've been on, there's a lot of things that have happened. I would summarize them as all pretty good, although we have some serious issues and burdens facing us. Thanks to the last board, for the first time in many, many years, we have an interim executive director who is a professional media manager. Previously, for many, many years, we have had dedicated Pacifica National Board people who have stepped in and taken up the responsibility of being the executive director of our unique national non-corporate radio network that has not only five stations in five. Could you keep the noise down at the side? Thank you. Five stations in very important media markets across the country, but has Tom, is it now? We're approaching 300 affiliates. Is that correct?
It's over 300.
It's over 300 affiliates, and so we are a network that is positioned in a way that no other network in the United States is. We are the only national network that does not have corporate sponsorship, so no corporate, pressures on us. Anyway, previously for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, maybe longer, it's been people who have been elected to the board who are not professional managers. Many were not media people either. I mean, they're passionate people who care about Pacifica. As a result of that, Pacifica is huge, and the structure of it is complex in that it's a hodgepodge. It's, in one sense, it's a national organization. Legally, financially, it is one organization, which means that all of us are responsible for everybody else's expenses. Now, this does not include the affiliates, but it includes every other station, which is one of the things that got us into trouble, because WBAI, once an iconic, important New York station that was broadcasting from the top of the Empire State Building at a cost of $61,000 a month, had their membership drop from thousands and thousands to 6,000 in a gigantic media market that includes a lot of active, progressive, radical people, and because the programming was terrible, and the whole network then became responsible for their $61,000 a year debt and
a month debt.
And we were sued by the Empire State Building. And what happened was there was a big debate across the organization where those of us in Berkeley felt that the best thing to do was probably to file bankruptcy. And the rest of the people across the network were horrified with our position and frightened by our position and felt we were putting everything at risk and putting the hands of the network in the courts. I and those of us who were for bankruptcy have a different notion of what bankruptcy would have meant. However, bankruptcy was not decided upon. Instead, there was originally a $3.7 million loan, a bridge loan from people who are close to Pacifica of, in the neighborhood of $400,000 to get us from our moment of danger to the negotiating the terms of the big loan. And so that loan eventually came to a $3.2 million loan. That loan becomes due 3 years after the moment it was taken. And I don't, of course, I can't tell you when that was, but it was a little while ago. So less than 3 years from now, that $3.2 million loan will become due. And so that's bad news. Another piece of difficult news. Another piece of difficult news is that, probably a lot of you were part of raising money to purchase the Nakapon building and the national office piece of property that is adjacent to the KPFA studios. That was done with a lot of hard work and passion by the KPFA community. And we sacrificed that building, sold it, as part of being able to get to settle the lawsuit, to get the loan, to pay lawyers, to deal with stuff like that. So that's all the bad and difficult news, I would say, that I can think of at the moment. There's pensions, which I'll mention in a minute. I was asked to make a longer report.
I'd like to defer my 5 minutes to Carol.
All right. So the good news is I was asked to make a substantial 10-minute report.
I just have a question. Point of order: are we going to end this workshop at 1?
Yes, we are. We're time certain. But so, please go ahead, Carol.
Will there be time for questions?
Well, she is giving her report now. Yes, we are ending at 1. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. The very good news, I think, is that the previous board to the one that I was part of hired Tom Livingston, who is our current interim executive director, who is the first, as I said early at the opening, the first professional manager that Pacifica has had in many, many years. So a lot of infrastructure that an organization of our size, breadth, and responsibility has been put in place. So the having the accounting system across the entire network so that it can interface is a simple, obvious thing to do, but it was a very hard thing to do, and it's been done. The pensions, which we have been not paying into because of the national offices not having the money to pay other things, and so even though we had the money to pay the pension and offered it, they were not going to pay it because of issues. The pension is a very complex issue because ERISA, which is the federal administration that deals with pensions, has a lot of rules and regulations. And if we owed money for somebody who was in the pension and they left the employment, you can't give money back. You can't put money into ERISA back for somebody who's not currently employed. So there's all kinds of complex legal things that we had to hire lawyers, expensive lawyers, a lot of time to sort through these things. All these things are being done. So rather than being in fire mode, which had been what most executive directors had been in previously, because that's, you know, there's so much happening and so many bills and so many sister stations who were not able to meet their bills and trying to find and take money from hither and there. So anyway, I think that we are in much better shape, even though we have huge hurdles and important debt that is troubling and a mountain to climb. But I think that's all I can think of.
Thank you. And we're going to give reports first, and then we'll go for questions. Sabrina, did you have a report that you wanted to give?
No.
Thank you. Orton, did you have a report you wanted to give?
I'm going to, in the interest of time, I'm not going to give a report.
Thank you, Tom.
I don't necessarily agree with Carol's report.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, well, I'm going to give my report, and then Sharon and Carol both have something to say, and then if we have time for questions, we will. I want to say that as KPFA board, we believe that Pacifica is actually, we're in existential dire straits at this moment because the structure has not been functional, typically, although I would agree with Carol, it's doing better. They definitely have moved along, hired some people, and done some things. But last year, the Pacifica National Board produced a plan for financial recovery and stabilization, part of which included a revision of the bylaws, because there's a leaflet on the back table that you can look at that kind of shows you, it's a good visual, and that's without all of the committees being added that Carol Travis drew. Our board member, it's just too complex. It's Byzantine. It's arcane. People have trouble getting things done because every station has their own focus, and I understand that. My concern is that there's a couple of major problems. One is the structure of the organization, which still has not been. The bylaws have not been changed per the financial recovery plan that was put up. And that's going to be critical because there's just too many people, too many cooks, as it were. The other problem is that there is two loans were taken out in response to the Empire State loan problem, the building there. The loans were taken out in response to that lawsuit. One of the loans was approximately $500,000, I believe. And the other one was 3.256 something, yeah, $1 million. So the first loan has been repaid, and that was repaid by the sale of our building that KPFA raised the money for, KPFA paid taxes on every year, and it was the Nakapon building. That building was sold. I want crickets in here. So that building was sold, but none of that money went towards the actual Empire State Building loan. All of that money went to the back taxes and other problems with it, but I believe a good portion of it went into a bank fund that was there for the interest payments on the $3.256 million loan. So the other thing that I have really grave concerns about are that there is no payback plan that we have heard. This loan was taken out months ago, and as of yet, the board has been unable to come up with any payback plan for all of that money. It's an interest-only loan, and it's 8.9% interest or something, but no payments for the first 18 months, and then the last 18 months there will be interest payments. But there's a balloon payment at the end. I mean, and there's a considerable amount of interest that will accrue. So, I mean, this is an existential moment for us, I believe, and there are a lot of options. We have a lot of people who have opinions, but we don't have enough ideas. We need ideas to come up with that are creative and that will actually, the board needs to act on this. This is a critical issue to me because the Nakapon building being sold and there's still no money on that. We also have outstanding monies that we owe for our pension obligations. The IRS and the DOL are investigating because of the lack of conforming to the laws and such on the part of Pacifica. So obviously I want Pacifica to survive personally. I think Pacifica is really important for particularly at this moment in time in our history when we have fascism rising in this country. But I also really, really want KPFA to exist and I don't want to lose our building because our building is part of what is put up for collateral for the $3 million loan plus change. And also the studio building plus KPFK in LA. So these are major concerns that we need to address. So I will just leave it at that. I just wanted to say that we're going to have breakout workshops. I'm going to let Carol announce that, how those are going to go. But she wants to announce something as well.
Well, I guess I'll just say I wanted to just say something on the pensions, and I'm going to stand up too just because there's so many people here. My name is Sharon Adams for the people in the back. I wanted to say, for example, on the pensions, what happened, you've heard many times that KPFA has not funded its pension, and you may have heard that, you know, we have the most employees and we owe a lot. But the fact of the matter is it is a complex legal area, but what happened was that New York and the Washington station were unable to come up with a total of $12,000 between those two stations to fund their pension. And so because the entire pension had it to be funded at the same time each year, because they were unable to come up with, you know, $7,000 in New York and $5,000 in D.C., KPFA was legally unable to fund its pension. So this is the kind of dysfunction that is happening with this governance structure. And so, you know, many of us here on the KPFA local station board have worked to try to bring about a different governance structure or something, because we all want to save Pacifica, but we don't want to save the dysfunctional parts. And I just wanted to reiterate that there is no payback plan on the loan, and that the Nakapon building has been sold to pay off the $500,000 loan. And actually, I believe it's a $3.7 million loan is the second loan. And our KPFA studio building is up for that one. So if that loan, if they call it in, they could move on the studio building. So I'm really, really happy to see these outpouring of people here in support of KPFA. And I know many of you are here because of the Bonnie Faulkner issue. And I'm not going to say anything on that. I just want to say that we appreciate your support and love for KPFA and your passion.
Yes, thank you. Aki, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that it's 12:56 at the moment, and the town hall is to be beginning at 1:15, so that we have four people on the stack, and we also have the one report from tech meeting. So I just want to know how you want to do the four people on the stack versus the meeting. So just wanted to let you know what the time is.
Okay. So I'm Carol Wolfley, local station board secretary, and I wanted to say one of the things that is a part of the Pacifica network is that each station of five sister stations has representation. So KPFA has around 17,000 members. It's my understanding that KPFK has about 15,000 or something like that. New York, WBAI, has about 7,000. WPFW has about 7,000. KPFT has about 7,000. Now, each of these smaller stations that is having a lot of trouble, they have equal representation on the national board, which is a concern because you have three smaller stations that are having difficulty. KPFA is producing a lot of programming that's being used by the other stations through AudioPort. So we don't have equal representation, and I want to say there is a group of people, a lot of people are thinking about how can we work with the bylaws to make it functional, to have functional financial accounting and functional business operation. And it seems to me like one way to do that may be to look at these issues of the bylaws and to work together so that KPFA actually has representation, not like the Electoral College, but like representation because we have a lot more members. So
like the House of
thanks.
Announce the workshops, and then we'll take everybody. We'll get 1 minute.
Why don't you do the stack?
Let's do the stack. 1 minute each for the stack. And who's first, Aki?
Tim.
Tim.
I'll try and go fast. I have a couple of things. One, just in terms of no payment plan and the KPFA building, studio building online. It feels to me a lot like we're a diabetic who just got our part of our leg chopped off, right, because we didn't treat our disease, the knock-upon building, and that rather than changing our diet, we are at risk now of losing the rest of that leg or more legs. And I think that it's that serious. I wonder, as a question, is there any, do we know if there's any conflict, potential conflict of interest between those who have made loans and those who are may receive our property afterwards. I also wonder if there's anything within the contract for the knock-upon sale. If I was in the studio earlier, there was a road jackhammering. I could hear the jackhammering in the studio. This is not going to bode well for programming. Is there anything within the contract that protects our ability to provide air?
Thank you. And then we can have all the questions answered at once. Is that good?
I agree.
Because we have. Go ahead. Next. Who's next?
Anthony.
Anthony.
Yeah. A quick question for any director. Does anyone know why the governance committee is not meeting? It certainly has important issues it could be considering.
Tom.
Yes, as a PNB director, I do not necessarily agree with the conclusions of Carol. Pardon? I do not necessarily agree with the with Carol, Christina, Sharon, and your conclusions, but I will defer any comments in the interest of time.
Yeah, I want to point out that that I and others were opposed to the bankruptcy, which the majority of the board was in favor of. And that were, there was no solution. That was the argument, that there was no solution other than bankruptcy. Well, there are some solutions. We have cut costs, Pacifica, and we're in better shape than we were before, actually. Secondly, yes, we have to change. We have to do more live programming. We have to reach out to the community. We have to cover the struggles, the global action, climate action that's going to be happening. We have to be a vital station. So we have to become a multimedia platform. There's a proposal here to develop that. We cannot stay as we are and expect to survive as we are. And I think that requires that we have a vision, a strategy, and that requires getting out to the community, doing live programming, and taking up the struggle of people in this country. If we do that, we'll get millions of dollars and solve our financial problems. Thank you.
Thank you. Carol, did you want to answer the couple questions?
There's no conflict of interest with the loan, and it's 3.2, not 3.7, and... I don't know that there's anything in it that protects the ability to program and keep noise down. I guess my suspicion is not, because it was mostly a financial contract that a lot of time was spent on that changed and made the provisions better for us. There was a lot of work done on it to not take the initial loan terms that were offered. And just by the way, getting a loan at all was miraculous, because we have terrible credit. And many of us believed that there was no possibility of getting a loan. So,
okay. Thank you. I think we need to take our break, and then we will come back to... hold on a sec. Shoot.
So, it's great. So many people are here. We're going to have first a large group sharing, and that will be our public comments. So I would like, some of you have signed up to speak in the public comments large group sharing time. If you have not signed up and you would like to speak, please sign up, or we will give you a chance to get in line at the end. We will ask that people speak only for once, and for 1 minute each, because there's so many of you. And then we will also have breakout groups later on. So if you have a topic, we have two topics today already. One is Pacifica, to continue this discussion, because I know a lot of you may have questions about Pacifica. And the other part will be to talk about outreach, because we now have 5,000 program guides, and if you have an organization that you would like to take some program guides to, check out our outreach table back here. If you have community literature you'd like to share, please put it on the table on the back that doesn't have the red tablecloth. And please, if you would like to propose a group about a topic that is important to you, please come up to me during the break and let me know, and we'll set it up and we'll figure out our space and our groups. Thanks. Yeah, so 15 minutes, so come back at 1:20.
1:20, we're recessed until 1:20. Thank you.
No, thank you, though. Not unless it has vodka in it.
Huh?
Not unless it has vodka.
Okay, we're going to try to get this meeting started. We have a lot of people who want to make comments. Can we keep it down? Could people please settle? Hello? Please, in respect to other people who want to make comments, could we please quiet down in the back? Hello? We want to start the meeting. People have things that they want to say, and they want the time to say them in. And because there are so many comments, we have a lengthy comments page. Just want to notify people we may not have time for the breakouts. We'll see how it goes, but we want people to have the opportunity who came here to speak. And I do want to say, as the person who became the chair because the chair got elected to the Pacifica National Board and left me here, that it's really, for whatever reason, it really warms my heart to see this many people show up at a meeting. And I hope that as many people, whether there's a controversy or not, of course there always is, will show up at the next meeting. A town hall meeting that we'll have in the next quarter. So thank you all for taking the time to come today. It's really, your presence is appreciated, and we support your being here. Now, I think we're going to go ahead and start with we're going to move we're going to go ahead and start with the
public comments.
The comments.
Oh,
the group agreements. I'll go over them once again for anybody who wasn't here. And this is what has kept our board functioning in a very respectful and functional way, is that we have decided as a board that we would abide by this agreement as far as behavior and comportment are. The group agreements we agreed on is speak with each other respectfully, using comfortable volumes, focus on facts, issues, and proposals, no name-calling or personal insults, listen to each other with care, honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the facilitator, honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements, after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave. And I would also say that these actually comport with the senior center's behavioral basically program that they gave us as well, that they expect us to behave that way when we're here using their facility. So with that being said, we're going to have a lot of people who want to speak, and that's going to mean that we have 1 minute per person. I'm going to have our secretary call the names of the people that we have a list here. Okay, I won't have her call the names. I will call the names. I would also say that I should have said this before, but when you're using it, the mic, when you're speaking in the mic, if you hold it like this, people won't hear you. So you need to hold the mic and speak directly in it so that it's pointed towards you, so that we can make sure that you are recorded, that your statement is recorded, and that everyone is able to hear you appropriately. And with that, I'm going to call on speakers. And that would be, it looks like Cheryl Jensen. Is Cheryl Jensen here? Maybe she spoke. Maybe. Jane Bark.
I was surprised to find the current notice from Quincy announcing that Guns and Butter had summarily been dropped. How many calls constituted this avalanche he talks about? What was the demographic breakdown of the callers? And which of the three issues he cites had the most objections? In the absence of any explanation, I sat down to do my own examination of the issue. What I do know is that Bonnie has just recently begun broadcasting programs critical of Zionism. I also know that the Zionist lobby has teams of people ready to launch campaigns against dissenters. This was covered in an article on the website If Americans Knew, which features Amy Goodman interviewing a member of the Knesset who explains exactly the method used. I can only conclude that KPFA has been duped by the Zionist lobby and that they are using the climate and Parkland issues as cover.
Thank you. Thank you. The next speaker is Cindy Ma. Cindy Ma, okay. Susan De Silva.
I was going to speak on the structure of Pacifica, but now I'm going to speak about Bonnie Faulkner's being off the air. I seem to be the only person I've talked to who actually heard the program. I was appalled. I think Bonnie made a very large mistake. When the note went out from you, Bonnie, I wish you had included what the actual show was. This is part two. I am a strong anti-Zionist. I think that Israel is the bad guy in the Palestine-Israel issue. However, in the show in question, There were wrong figures about how many Jews died in World War II. There was a statement that the conditions in the camps were not so bad, that there was medical care, that there was, that people were well fed when they came out of the camps. It was also stated that the any photographs from the liberations of the camps were falsified. So if you come up to support it, I'm not sure if Bonnie should be on the air or off the air. I think she's brought us many wonderful things in the past. But be sure you know what you're supporting. And I think maybe an admission that a mistake was made would be a good thing.
Thank you. The next speaker would be Robert Marston.
Good afternoon. My name is Robert Marston. I am a former volunteer with KPFK in Los Angeles, 15 years. I've lived in the Bay Area for 17 years. And first thing I'd like to address has to do with the matter of the time allocation to us, because the people that spoke this morning were each given 2 minutes apiece. So you talk about respect. I think that we should be owed some respect, too, to at least be given some equivalence to this in terms of this message. In terms of what's going on at the station, I feel like I've been very inactive, but I come back here and I feel like I've been transported back to Los Angeles in 1993 when I sat on the local station board there. It is the same stuff all over again. It's something we hear about, the latest catastrophe, economic catastrophe that besets the Pacifica and the local stations. The question is why? Why does this continue to have, in terms of treating the volunteers there and programmers and just throwing them out, that, so then you get professional or quote-unquote professional people that come in and run their show. I understand there's going to be time. I'm going to finish up this point. They continue to run this show, and
we're not going to be able to have everybody speak that way. That's why we have the time limit. And I'm sure a lot of other people say we're calling time now. Thank you.
Why did you cut our allocation in half?
Because there's so many people
this morning. Not only did they get to cut the line, but they wind up.
I just okay because you're directing it to me. I'm only the timekeeper. I'm just doing what I'm told. But let me just say that I would not have made the motion for 2 minutes. Anthony made the motion that specifically said 2 minutes. So that is why we had 2 minutes before. I would have said 1 minute back then, but it was taking a lot of time. And I think there's a lot of people here, and we're just trying to hear from everybody.
Thank you. We have a time limit on being here.
Nothing has changed in Pacifica. Absolutely nothing.
Don't do that to our equipment. That is very disrespectful. Do not break our equipment. Thank you. The next person is Virginia Browning.
So, can you hear me? Is this on? Okay. I'm talking about due process. I personally, what does this mean? Due process. I have heard some shows on Bonnie Faulkner's airwaves that I thought were nutty myself. But I've heard shows that I think are terrible on the news, especially, and on some other shows where they uncritically support war and warmongering everywhere in the, and this latest Russia thing. I've heard it said that that the news doesn't have the resources. Well, they get paid more than most departments at KPFA, if not all. And Joe Loria, who does Consortium News, had here are some places they could look. Consortium News, Norman Solomon, Matt Taibbi, Facebook, which they reference. There should have, if they didn't like some things, they could have put a disclaimer up, and they definitely owe the listeners at least an explanation like the one that was given for Dawkins. It's crazy. It's not good for KPFA's reputation to take all the archives off for this.
Thank you, Virginia.
It's nutty.
Could we hold applause? It takes up time. Daniel Bergstrom?
Hello, I'm Daniel Borgstrom, and I want to thank Bonnie for her 17 years of getting behind stories behind the stories. I want to thank her for that. I understand she has been taken off the air and by Q McCoy, Quincy McCoy, and now we're having a town hall meeting, and I believe he's not here. Did I hear it right? He's on vacation? Did I hear that right? Okay, he is on vacation. Why not make his vacation permanent?
Well, just the logistics things. It doesn't say it, but when I hold this up, you'll have 10 seconds left just to help.
30 seconds, did you say?
10 seconds left. So when I hold it up, you'll have 10 seconds left.
And we have Allison Weir. Is Allison Weir here? There she is.
Thank you. To the person who spoke earlier and said what we are supporting. What we are supporting is free speech. That's what KPFA I have always thought was part of. That's why I donated, I believe it was 45 years ago, and had a sticker on my car that said KPFA, because we support free speech, which includes unpopular speech. It is very important that we have the chance to hear many different viewpoints, many different facts, and to dispute those facts openly and publicly. That's what we are here to support, and that is what was not done by the station manager, by the station management. There was no due process. There was no public involvement. Somebody was taken off after 17 years of archives removed because they didn't like some of the speech that was on that program. We oppose that. We want the program reinstated. We want proper procedures and free speech at KPFA. Thank you.
Thank you. Stan Woods. Stan Woods is next, and then after Stan Woods would be Philip Maldari. So we can sort of...
Hi, I'm Stan Woods. I used to be on the LSB, and I was also on the program council, which unfortunately doesn't exist anymore. And that's very pertinent to the issue at hand, because if we had a decision-making program council, we're the ones, actually, by the way, that originally put Bonnie on the air. And we had full discussion, and the main reason was we thought there should be explicitly anti-war show on the air. I'm concerned about the lack of due process. Most of my work life, I've been in trade unions, but I'm concerned about the rights of all workers. The reason at KPFA, people like Bonnie are called unpaid staff, because they're not the same as volunteers. I've been a volunteer in the phone room. Bonnie working, coming down here often twice a week for many years from Sonoma County, is an unpaid worker. And she should have due process. And the due process shouldn't be just appealing to the guy who fired her. Any trade union should understand that. She should have, I think, in lack of a program council, the LSB should have a hearing in which she gets to state her case, hear the arguments pro and con, and then the LSB make a decision whether to reinstate her or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Philip? Emily Sykes will be after Philip.
So I'm Philip Maldari. I am Philip Maldari. I've been at KPFA for 45 years, 10 years as unpaid staff, 35 years as paid staff. I did listen to Bonnie's program in question. I am an anti-Zionist to the core. I was agreeing with what the speaker was saying. This was a speech, not an interview. I was agreeing until it got to the Holocaust denial. And this is outrageous. This does not belong on KPFA. This is not free speech. We do not have programs for Nazis on KPFA. We don't have programs for racists on KPFA. We don't have programs for anti-Semites on KPFA. And we never should have. This program does not belong on KPFA, and I'm glad it's gone. Bonnie was contacted by Quincy and asked to respond to his request. She blew off his request. That's my time. Perfect.
Emily? Could we no crosstalk, please?
My name is Emily Sykes. I'm from the outlier Marin County, and we have attempted to have several town meetings, and we televised them. And I heard this morning that the staff here or the board wanted to hear more ideas rather than opinions. We came up with a lot of very good ideas, especially from coming from Peter Frank and his crisis group. And I'm wondering when he can say these things transparently. Everybody know a little bit more about how we can separate financially from the other four stations and yet continue to have Pacifica being the overseer. And I think that it would be very good to have these reports that are unique and full of fantastic ideas to be explored publicly and televised on the stations that will televise them so we could all participate and know how the program will grow. Thank you.
I'm having trouble reading this name. It's Dan Alderman Shun, it looks like. It's not clearly the way it's written here. Dan? Don? Maybe. Oh, yes, Don Goldmacher. Thank you. Sorry.
Maybe we could have three names come up or even five.
The next one is Stephanie Thomas.
My name is Don Goldmacher. I'm the producer of the film Heist, Who Stole the American Dream, How We Can Get It Back. Co-producer of a new film, The Long Shadow, about the history of slavery, white supremacy, and the political role of the South in this country. I'm a former member of the local station board here at KPFA, and I'm here to tell you I am a Jewish anti-Zionist. I have been since 1967. But when you cross the line into anti-Semitism, you're conflating Zionism with anti-Semitism, which is exactly what the State of Israel wants you to do. Let's be clear about that, okay? When anybody raises any kind of little murmur, they'll immediately cry anti-Semitism. So falling into this trap of allowing a Holocaust denier on the air is promoting hate speech. That's not free speech. I fought the mayor of this town a year ago when they were attacking Antifa, and I said, you are at fault because you allowed hate speech into the city of Berkeley. That's not acceptable. And I love Bonnie's show, but she crossed the line.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. The next person, Ephraim Ian Colbert, and then Shauna Wilson. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's a lot of names here.
Hi. I wrote a letter. I won't read it because interest of time, but I am opposed to what happened with Bonnie's show. And one of the letters I sent to a friend, she said she was out of town and she couldn't come. So she said, wanted me to say that she agreed with my letter, which was, you know, disagreeing with what happened. And that she said she's been a supporter. She and her husband, Doug, this is Nancy Merritt, a supporter for KPFA for many years, including participating in the crafts fair. And anyway, she's said transparency is critical. Another friend of mine had told me that she happened across Guns and Butter one time when she was at a client's house and had never heard of KPFA, listened to that program, and found out it was KPFA. And from then on, she's been a listener. And and someone walking over here, when I walked, they also were critical. Most of my friends, or many friends, are against that decision.
Thank you. Okay. And Ephraim, I believe. Ephraim.
Hello, we are members of the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. I am the training director, Mickey.
First of all, we want to say how proud we are of the proclamation that we received from Congresswoman Barbara Lee's office, which states, which thanks us for outstanding and invaluable service to the community. We are also proud of the commendation that we received from the LSB in 2013. And now we want to give a shout out to First Voice graduates who are now paid staff at the station.
Okay. Ron Akehill, board operator for the news and fill-in board operator for Up Front. Kirsten Tom.
Carla West, news weekday programming, board op at Berkeley City Council producer.
Antonio Ortiz, operations manager.
Miguel Guerrero, KPFA web coordinator.
Janine Etter, news engineering and upfront programmer.
We got Felicia Bridges, subscriptions for the OAC staff.
Diana Martinez, producer of letters and politics.
We got Teresa Adams from subscriptions OAC staff.
Kirsten Thomas, engineer for Upfront and Democracy Now!
We also want to mention others who have made a mark outside of the station. We have Robin Takahama, Peabody Award winner. Renee Giesler, Peabody Award winner and co-founder of Mamacita's Cafe. Noelle Hanrahan, founder of Prison Radio, the voice of Mamiya Abu-Jamal. And I have to flip the page.
Lucretia Burton, engineer for Africa Today and other weekday programs.
Vilma Ortiz from subscriptions and OAC staff.
Frank Sterling, Full Circle Technical Director and former LSB member.
Kevin Cartwright, Interim Program Director.
And, of course, we got Mickey Mays, Engineer for the Sunday Show and First Voice Training Director.
Other people who have made marks outside the station include Allie Butner, former producer of Your Call at KALW and winner of the Edward R. Murrow News Documentary Award. Robin Giantassimo Mal, founding producer and former director of KQED's Forum. And finally, I want to give a shout out to our ancestors, who include Veronica Faisant, former programmer for The Week Starts Here, Jenna Hota, co-founder of Apex Express, and our beloved receptionist, Louis Sawyer. So now for those of you who may not be familiar with or who may have forgotten what we do, we're going to pass out media that is a summary of our productions and gives an overview of the program. Thank you.
Are you done? You have some time left still?
Joy Moore, former LSB member twice. Thankfully, only twice. And next year will be my 20th year as a graduate apprentice of KPFA program. So I still teach the apprenticeship program, but I also promote the health and wellness movement and trying to get people to garden and food. That's what I use KPFA for. And I'm not going to get into the controversy about Barney, but what we really need to be talking about is how we get more people to listen to the damn radio station. That's what I ain't heard today. That's what I want to say. So that's what our job as apprentices. As apprentices, that's our job, is to get more people who look like us. Because I'm telling you, the apprenticeship is the only program that brings brown people and women into KPFA. The only ones. Thank so you. Y'all need to support us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Shauna Wills. Oh.
You're done? I'm sorry. Did I take all your time?
My name is Steve Grievous. I'm one of the current apprentices, Group 43, Dry Long So Rising. I've been just so blessed and honored to be under the tutelage of Miss Mickey Mays and as executive director, and, of course, Franklin Sterling as the technical coordinator. And it's been a fantastic opportunity and experience just throughout. And as Joy Moore just mentioned, just the opportunity to have a more inclusive perspective of those of the marginalized people of color, of women in the program, it's been a fantastic experience to just blend and really bringing the community together. I'm also a technologist, so one thing that I am challenged by is as the First Voice Apprenticeship Program, we really need some help. We really need to have an opportunity to improve our technology. So I do have an estimate, and and I will just make the request for $15,000. I will make that request, and it's for systems. It's also for field equipment. We need to improve what we have out there. I was just a part of a show on the on August 3rd from the Malcolm X Jazz Festival. There'll be another Juneteenth celebration this coming Friday, and just the opportunity to interview someone like a John Burris. The opportunity to really interview some of those in the community that are doing so much, and we had that opportunity to get out there and do that through Brilliant Minds with the Juneteenth celebration, and that's coming up. So, but we need the technology to support that. So in terms of the microphones, in terms of the recording equipment, all of that is very necessary. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming. And thank you for such a great presentation. We don't get to see the apprentices enough. That's wonderful. We value you guys very much. You're welcome. Thank you. We're proud of you. And Craig Dunkerley. And then Chana Wilson. Did we have?
Hello. Boy, what a great crowd. It's really nice to see, you know, folks from the KPFA community, you know, take time out of their day and come here. My name is Craig Dunkerley. I currently serve on the KPFA Community Advisory Board. We're a board which collects data from our audience and produces a report each year trying to reflect and communicate with the LSB and management about what our audience, what they like, what they don't like, what they're looking for. We were a board of six. Two of our members recently termed out, and one of them had to step down. So if you would like to become a member of the CAB, we would really appreciate you considering that. See me before you leave, and I'll direct you to where you can find an application. Thanks very much.
Okay, did we have Chana Wilson that was next? Steve Grenis? Oh, thank you, Steve. Thank you for all you do. And David De La Gran? Shaquille Stewart? Oh, sorry. Whoa. Maria?
I think it's First Voice, though. Maria?
She spoke too. Okay, we're down to Vic Sadat. And then Sky Emery. And then Sky Amory after Vic.
Yeah, my name is Vic Sado. I've always donated to KPFA with the stipulation that they mark it down as supporting Guns and Butter, Bonnie Faulkner. I like my views to be challenged. I've had to change them many times in my life, and I will continue to change them if facts make me do so. I see that the letter to Bonnie, the note, says Holocaust denier. Is there something written in KPFA's bylaws about that? Is there a particular history we have to subscribe to, or are you not allowed to question certain historical events? Climate denial. I didn't know I was required to believe in climate views that I wasn't even consulted about. And then Parkland mass shooting. I have a lot of serious questions about the Parkland mass shooting, particularly how quickly they organized from Valentine's Day to the very weekend to have a huge rally. And it was done by the Women's March, which was a very pro-war march. And so I think you should review what you're doing here. And
thank you.
Thank you.
It's the next one was Sky Amory. Sky. And after her is Dana Carson after that.
There was kind of a traffic jam on my way over here from Davis, so it almost took me two very lonely hours to find out. What I am very happy to have found out is that most people are in favor of Bonnie Faulkner coming back. And that more than compensates for the gas and the loneliness and almost getting myself killed. But in any case, when people say, oh, he crossed the line, excuse me, but... dialogue isn't about breaking little infringements. I mean, That's why we're putting, we're separating children from their parents, because they crossed the line. So I'm for open dialogue. Oh, and this is the most important thing. I really hope that we have this groups getting together, guns and butter over there. Let's all get together and come up with a good strategy to find out what the heck is going on here.
Thank you, Dana Carson. And then Stu Baker. I think it's Stan Baker after.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've heard three times a compliment on the size of the crowd. It kind of makes me feel kind of dirty, you know what I'm saying? Because I, frankly, resent having to be here this afternoon to come in here and have to support somebody who has done excellent programming, a hell of a lot of which I disagree with, by the way, that does not necessarily always reflect the opinion of the program host. You want to fix that problem, make the disclaimer. Or throw out one of the bad programs. I don't care. But I feel like I've been heartbroken for the last 2 years, but because I've had to watch our public land be sold off to rich freeloaders by the ignorant jackbutt in chief. And now I have to tolerate watching one of our best programmers be thrown off the air because of comments like the one that I just heard from Philip. I may not be able to do anything about it, but I can restrict my future contributions to the $25 basic membership fee, and I will.
Stan Baker, and then Sula Culver, I believe.
I like Bonnie's show. I've been a supporter of her work for a long period of time. But I do think that 2018 has been pretty bad. I listen to KPFA to hear progressive talk. I can hear right-wing talk somewhere else. I do support Bonnie in this struggle, but I don't think that I think Bonnie needs to make some changes. I think she needs to challenge some of those guests if she's going to have them on there. She needs to challenge those statements and know what she's dealing with when she's doing it. Because I haven't been able to listen to your program since then. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about Jerome Corsi. That was ridiculous because we had Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz talk about her book. That was far superior information than anything else that Jerome Corsi put out. I knew what Jerome Corsi was saying was absolutely foolish. So I'm just saying to you is that I think that what Quincy has done is shameful. I think that what him and Kevin Cartwright are not here, I think that's shameful.
It was a planned vacation before.
I understand that, yeah. but if he's going to do this hatchet job, he needs to be here.
Okay, thank you.
Because I have sacrificed my own vacations too.
Time, thank you. Sula Culver, I think it's Culver, and then Tarnell Abbott. I think it's Tarnell. Tarnell Abbott.
Hi. I agreed with the first woman who spoke, with Virginia Browning and Allison, I think her name was, totally. And I have a personal story. I was several years ago driving. It was a fun drive day, and I was in my car, and Philip Muldery came on the air right after Guns and Butter, and I choked and spit the water out of my mouth when he said, Guns and Butter, what a great program. So that was quite a surprise to me. But I know there are plenty of people who are running things who are afraid, who like to use the words conspiracy theories to smear all kinds of things that need to be considered. And that's enough for me.
Thank you. Tarnell Abbott, and then Andrew Rask.
Tarnell Abbott. I'm speaking in support of Bonnie Faulkner and the Guns and Butter program. It takes great courage to challenge the dominant culture or thinking. And if we wanted to listen to mainstream radio, there's plenty of other stations that offer it. I do not agree with everything on the program, nor do I agree with everything on every other program that is on KPFA. By taking this action, you alienate not only a group of dedicated listeners, but you also send a chilling message to other program hosts. Therefore, I say, you know, don't demand that they toe the line or they're off the air. Reinstate Guns and Butter. Reinstate the archives. Create a policy that is more democratic before summarily shutting down a program. It should not be done by one or two people only. It's too important. I'm a member of a multi-generational supporting family, and I will reduce my funding or cut it.
Thank you. We have Andrew Rask. Is Andrew here? Craig Fields. Are you Andrew or Craig? Okay, come on, Craig, because Andrew might have left, I guess. And then we're going to have Lori Fohl, P-F-O-H-L.
Hi, my name is Craig Fields. I've been listening steadily for the last 8 years to Bonnie's program. I've enjoyed it immensely. I don't agree with everything that's said necessarily or with other programs, like, for instance, Amy Goodman. Sometimes she doesn't do journalism. It's advocacy work. Let's make clear what's going on here. I agree with other people. I'm not going to go over it already, but I wanted to just remind you all that, you know, a great investigative journalist named Seymour Hersh can no longer be published in the United States. He has to go to Europe. So I think that as progressives, we should perhaps have some, be cautious when we want to just take somebody off because one thing they said or two or three things. Let's maybe have more due process as the gentleman had asserted and really get to the bottom of this to understand. I'll let my comments go. Thank you.
Thank you. Lori Fohl.
Hi, I'm Lori Fohl. Yeah, I was really disappointed when I heard that Bonnie's show was canceled. I do listen to her frequently, and I really look forward to the Wednesday lineup because it seemed to have relevant topics. And I'm quoting a friend of mine who said he was tired of station airing programs about new agey frou-frou nonsense. And I think there's a place for that type of information, but not in the middle of the day, you know. I mean, maybe after hours. And also, I thought it was really strange the way she was let go. There wasn't any, as far as I know, I don't know the background, there wasn't any, you know, usually when you work for someone, they give you a warning. You're like, you know, you're kind of pushing the line here, you know, and then they tell you again, you know, we're gonna da-da-da, and then they, like, you know, this is it, you have one last chance. But as far as I know, that didn't happen. And it seems to me that you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, you know, just getting rid of all the programming, which has been great and a real eye-opener. Thank you.
Mark McDonald and then Chuck Miller. Mark McDonald and then Chuck Miller.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Mark McDonald, and I'm a longtime activist and former Peace and Justice Commissioner. And I am totally indebted to Bonnie and her show, whom I'm convinced that she's a good person, she's not a bigot, and I know that all the DJs and station programmers can't be responsible for everything that comes across, and I don't always agree with all the stuff on her show, but I have learned a lot, and I'm indebted to that. I learned on the Peace and Justice Commission there are certain issues that if you get involved, you know, you're going to get a snowstorm of phone calls, complaints, and all that, and what it is they just don't want any comment on these issues. And, you know, with Bonnie gone, they're just going to move on to the next show. Flashpoints, the news station, anybody who brings up these controversial issues is going to hear it. They got rid of the Daily Planet. On the Peace and Justice Commission, we had 8 new members overnight when we criticized running over Rachel Corey. And 2 of those members were from the Israeli army. They used to wear their hats to the Peace and Justice meeting. I'm telling you, the opposition is organized. You know, we can't let this process go on like this.
Chuck Miller? Is there a Chuck Miller?
My name's Chuck Miller. I thank you for that, Mac. I agree with you. Censorship is the worst, and KPFA, by and large, hasn't dealt with censorship all that much. However, Bonnie Bonnie has been a true hero for those of us who are against war. She's one of the first people who's entertained the whole idea of questioning 9/11 and what it was about. And 9/11 is by and large the whole reason that we're in war. And the peace movement hasn't caught on to that because they don't want to deal with 9/11. Bonnie deals with it. And we need her voice. She was willing to interview Gary Null about vaxxed and the whole issue about our kids being vaccinated and whether it's good for them or not. Who knows about that? It's a controversial issue. But she was willing to bring it out. KPFA censored that program and wouldn't let it be on the air. Now they're censoring her.
Thank you.
We need her back.
Thank you. Wanda Wankuten? Wankuten? Sorry, Wanda, if I have trouble reading your name here. And then Nancy Poland will be after her.
Hi. We all sense that something is happening, but we don't know what it is. And KPFA is protecting us from hearing truth. We're not getting what we need from KPFA. We hear the same old all the time. We're all racist. We're all men are evil. Women are good. That's putting it in a nutshell. I think KPFA is on a suicide mission if they don't start saying the truth. But I think actually that they're here to not to tell the truth, I'm afraid to say. We don't hear, we hear a little bit of something, but we don't hear the real meaning of it. Like 5G. Do you know that the city of Berkeley, for instance, has sold us down the river to the technology companies? We are now on the road to have 5G, which means we could have a cell tower every 200 feet on our streets. And that, if there is no greater example of corporate and government working together. And that's what's called fascism. And KPFA does not tell us about that.
Thank you. Nancy Poland, and then Bernie Rausch. Nancy Poland and Bernie Rausch after.
Hi, I'm Nancy Poland. There's obviously a lot of people in this room who support Bonnie Faulkner. I have no idea how many listeners out there listen to her and support her. So I want to switch the topic here a little bit. I want to say something about the on-air fundraising. I think it's really important. And I also think that I listen to it even though it's very repetitious. I think it's really could be improved. One specific thing is make sure absolutely everybody asks for people to donate, because I actually heard an entire hour where that was never done. It probably was pre-recorded, but I think we need to. You know, I was very disturbed about not meeting the goal, and so I just want to say that. And then I want to say something about KPFA's mission in these times, which are so horrifying.
I'm sorry, time. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, though. Thank you very much. Bernie Rausch, and then Bonnie Faulkner.
I just want to say that I love Philip's program, and I look forward to it every week. But the program I look forward to the most is Bonnie's Guns and Butter. And I'm really, really bummed out. I know that my $100 every fundraiser for many years now is not going to make or break KPFA. But I'm going to think again if Bonnie is held out and this is final. We don't need any censorship. We need truth and both sides of every story. And if there's a dialogue, maybe she needs to, rather than being censored after the fact, maybe beforehand, if you're so concerned that my Jewish brethren's toes might be stepped on, then maybe every program that has any chance of being controversial should be vetted beforehand.
Thank you, Bonnie.
More power to Bonnie.
I'm Bonnie Faulkner. I produce Guns and Butter. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate everybody coming out. That's really nice.
Thank you.
I want to agree that KPFA is on a suicide mission. It's absolutely terrible. Canceling Guns and Butter is going to hurt the station immensely. The station has had three key personnel, long-term personnel, have quit. There are problems going on at the station. I would urge you in governance to take a look, to help the station, and to help get Guns and Butter back on the air. I sent out a newsletter at 6 a.m. yesterday morning, and within 12 hours, I received much more than 100 emails in support, people saying that they're not going to donate to the station. It's terrible. I got an email from a couple who said they had a legacy for KPFA. They're not going to do it. You guys need to turn this around. I'm not in governance. You are. And I hope that you will work with the station to put Guns and Butter back on the air, because this is not good for the station. If you care about KPFA, if KPFA doesn't even have 1 hour a week buried in the afternoon for a deep political show, then what is it? What is a value at KPFA? I've dedicated 17 years of my life and spent all my money doing this.
Thank you.
And I've gotten no support from the station.
Time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Alan? Does that say Rec? Alan Rec, I think. REC? Alan Reck and Allison Weir. Is Allison Weir here?
Allison
Reed. Alan didn't. I guess Alan's not here. I guess Allison.
Oh, Alan Reed.
Or Alan Weir? Please Reese. come forward, Alan. Thank you. Alan Reck, and then Allison Weir.
Anyway, I'm Alan Reese, and I'm from No Lies Radio, which is a Pacifica affiliate, and we still carry Guns and Butter. I think that Bonnie does interview people with controversial viewpoints, but that doesn't make her an advocate of those viewpoints. So a logical solution, and someone mentioned this before several times, why not just put a disclaimer prior to any controversial show? And why not? That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Allison Weir. Is Allison Weir here? Oh, well, she didn't get marked off. Maybe she was marked twice here. Camille Self. So I can hardly hear. Thank you. And then Dana Carson, I believe, after that.
Thank you so much for convening this. Oh, yeah, hello. My name is Camille Sauvé, and I'm here to defend Bonnie Faulkner and Guns and Butter program. I think, quite frankly, it's the best program on KPFA, and I don't think we would have heard anything about 9/11 and the controversies around 9/11 without her program. And I'm a little worried that the last two programs were about Zionism. And I'm just wondering, who was it? Who were the phone calls of all the people protesting? Because I've been to Middle Eastern Children's Alliance events, and the Zionists will follow her around and disrupt. And they're very well organized, and they will try to put down any dissent. So, you know, what happened recently, and was she attacked by this same group of people? Anyways. I hope we all, you know, support freedom of speech, and I hope you will too.
I have a point. Hey, I have a point. So at the beginning of the meeting, mic isn't working. Check. Hello.
Hello, test.
So at the beginning of the meeting, we voted that we did not want video,
and some people are videoing anyway, and I just want to know how to proceed from there. We explicitly voted for no video within the room. We have an audio recording that's going. So how do we proceed in the face of that?
We would ask people to respect the board and our decision to ask people, please do not video. That was voted on, and that was accepted by the board. So otherwise, we will stop the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Dana Carson. Was that you, Del, where you spoke, Dana?
Yes, but I think I just signed two lists.
Oh, well, you're all over the place. Okay. So we have Arthur Stopes.
I'm glad to say all of you.
Arthur Stopes, and then... Can you read that? Lawrence Imangu?
Testing.
Hello, everyone. My name is Arthur Stopes III, nevertheless an original. I'm a legislative analyst and writer, and I especially listen to KPFA for the reason of Bonnie Faulkner's splendid programming. Is the man or woman who is responsible for the cancellation of her program here now? And will he or she stand up? Are they here now? Why don't they take responsibility? Why don't they courageously challenge whomever it was who was speaking on her program? I don't think I heard that particular one. But if he or she is so concerned, let them have a debate with that speaker. Not Bonnie. She is innocent. Now, unknown to yourselves, KPFA lies a great deal or allows lies to be promulgated on its airwaves. I have sent many emails to KPFA people, about a year ago, about the nature of a nonprofit. And Bonnie wishes to speak
with
me about
time.
Nonprofits.
We have
Brian
Arthur.
What's that? Edwards Tigert lied
your
about
time.
Sales
Thank
tax.
You very much. Time
will
is
you
up.
You permit lies.
Please respect the time
or
limits
I will speak
of everybody.
Later. You permit
Thank
lies.
You.
Ask me about them, please.
Time is up.
If you are serious, ask
Thank
me about
you.
The lies.
Do not point at me. Don't point that thing at me. Hold on.
I just want to say really quickly that we did plan this town hall several months in advance and had no way of knowing that this controversy was going to erupt like the week before we planned the town hall. And that may be why Quincy isn't here, because we had just planned this to be actually to talk about the Pacifica issue is kind of what we thought people would be interested in. So I just would like a little, just wanted to say that.
Thank you. And this is Arthur Stopes. Is that
no,
who just spoke?
Just
so you're... What is your name, sir?
My name is Lawrence Emanuel.
Thank you, Lawrence. Go ahead.
Okay. So I've been a long time with deep politics. I was at the beginning of one of the branches of McCarthyism and essentially was a political refugee at 5 years old. And at that time, I dealt with print, which was I.F. Stone's Weekly, who says governments lie, and so now someone needs to expose that. And he did every week, and he exposed, like, this Tonkin Gulf fraud. So on KPFA, Guns and Butter is the equivalent. It essentially is the one show that digs all the way down into deep politics, and it needs to. What I see KPFA is being drawn into is attempt to censor this through what's now fake news. So in the larger political scene, we're seeing people like going after whistleblowers like Assange, and anything which gets right down depth is called conspiracy theory, and KPFA can't go along with it.
Thank you, sir. Time. Orion. Orion. And then George Gabor. And then George Gaborni, I believe. Orion, and then George Gaborni, I believe it's. Oh, you, okay. And then Rich Stone is the next one after that.
Black and brown lives should matter now, but they don't, not this second. Black and brown lives matter because they don't this second. Free Julian Assange. Vigilant as always, I see on the back of T-shirts. KPFA's had a long, turbulent history. We fought battles. One thing I have to tell you quick. Mom O'Shea had a Ku Klux Man on the radio. We said no Ku Klux Klan. So guess what? Her first caller was Ku Klux Klan. I called her up, and I said, well, that was pretty. And she said to me, she said, well, that's keeping us honest, isn't it? So that's your history. Check that out. Tell everybody that. I believe in censorship. I don't want no anti-working class, Zionist, anti-woman stuff on there. And the working class has to control that. Bonnie Lockhart made a mistake, I believe.
Thank you.
Support Bonnie Lockhart, but I totally oppose removing 17 years of archives. Are you insane? Who thought of that?
Okay, thank you. We have George. Did we get George Gaborni? George Gaborni? And then Rich Stone after George.
Hi, thank you. I want to provide a solution to this to may help you with your way out. I'm George Gabor, president of the San Francisco Tesla Society. Bonnie was the only person, only reporter who ever came to our lectures with prominent PhDs to cover it. She's the only person from the press ever. But I worked in public access television in San Francisco for about 25 years until 2005. We had a similar situation, and I want to give you something that can help you through this. It was in the 1980s that we were faced with a problem. We had a show on called Race and Reason with Tom Metzger. Anybody ever heard of him? So he was a real neo-Nazi, and Viacom was in a real predicament. What do we do about this? Now, there were some stations that were public access, like in Concord area, I think it was, that just took them off. You know, it's too offensive. But what they did in San Francisco, I think, was a more enlightened approach. Okay, they left his show on, but they put Holocaust survivors on with John Angel Grant. He interviewed
thank
people.
Thank you. Time.
For
thank
balance.
Thank you very much.
And that's what I hope you will do.
Thank you very much. Rich Stone? Is there a Rich Stone?
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm Richard Stone. I've been on the Community Advisory Board for 3 years. Glad to, you know, to see this great turnout and briefly, much in line with all who have supported Bonnie. It's not, and some people said it's because you got to have due process, but with due process, there's also another thing that's similar in nature that it's called redemption. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you look at this, you know, issue as a religious or secular. Your redemption is something that I think that is long, you know, overlooked. I have dealt with similar types of issues with the San Francisco Labor Council on resolutions versus the Israeli-Palestinian issue, and I really think that all voices need to be heard, and I think that and redemption for those who and I just really hope, because I've been giving for years, and I've been thinking about rescinded mine as well. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, Max Blanchett, and then Henry Knorr.
Thank you. It's a very good attendance. According to the bylaws, we should have a meeting, town hall meeting, on a quarterly basis. We've been violating our bylaws. Let's get together on that and do our job. That's the way we bring people together, have input from the community. As for Bonnie, I have listened to her over the years. I've always found her challenging. She brings new perspectives to me, and that's good. That's what the radio is all about. However, I have had an issue with the process that was used to dismiss her. We used to have a program council that no longer exists, that gave the radio community the opportunity to take a view of programming and provide the right feedback. We have dropped that. To me, that was a mistake. I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Henry Knorr. And then Tess Welburn after Henry Knorr. Henry Knorr first.
Where did my paper go? Which paper?
How much? What's the time limit?
1 minute.
Okay. I'm Henry Knorr. Hi, everybody. The instant I heard the show was Guns and Butter was canceled, I knew that Bonnie must have crossed the Zionists, because I used to be a journalist, and I crossed the Zionists, and that was the end of my journalistic career. You know, I have a huge amount of admiration for Bonnie for her willingness and her courage in challenging orthodoxies, right, left, wherever. I also think a lot of the stuff on her show is nonsense, and I wish that she did, Bonnie, that you would do more homework or challenge some of the stuff that comes out of your speakers, including Mr. Sabrowski in this most recent case, because it wouldn't take much Googling to find out that some of the stuff, and I actually think that the stuff you've had on climate is a worse offense, but the process is appalling. There are no rules, there's no guidance, no guidelines, no program council. And to me, that's the issue. There should be a vehicle where people who have objections to the content that goes out over the air can make that suggestion.
Thank you. Tess Wellborn and then Ken Aaron.
My name is Tess Wellborn. I'm from San Francisco. And please, never stop subscribing to KPFA because of one action or one event or one whatever, you know, and subscribe to all of the progressive media. You know, we are in a house that's burning, and a lot of us don't have the strategy or the background to help put out the fire, but we need to help the people who are trying to put out the fire. Yeah. So please keep supporting KPFA. Disagree when you need to, but be sure and praise what you love. And let's try to do something about the fire. Thanks.
Yes, thanks.
Ken Aaron is next, and then Gwen Winter after Ken.
Hi, I try to keep the mic in the correct place. I want to applaud everybody who came here to support Bonnie. And I want to also applaud those people who are courageous enough to stand up and have derision on that, to disagree with what she did. Because that's the most controversial thing here today. Everybody supports her. But I want to also applaud the LSB for having this town hall and accepting these comments. In brief, I just want to say one thing. Bring Bonnie back. Bring Bonnie back. Bring Bonnie back. Bring Bonnie back.
Gwen Winter is next. Uh-huh, got it.
Okay, thanks.
Gwen Winter is next. Is Gwen here? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Gwen Winter. I'd like to say three things. First thing is I support all the things about Bonnie. I totally adore her. It's very awful that she's been taken off. Second, there's two other things, though. One thing is, what is all this on KPFA anti-Russia stuff? What is that all about? To me, that's fascism, too, as far as I'm concerned. And then the other thing, Julian Assange, Brian Edwards Tekert said he should be indicted. What's going on here? That's what I have to say.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, well,
we're on time, right?
Yeah, you know, this is kind of amazing. We're sort of on time here. We have, that was the last speaker, and pardon?
Ask if anybody else.
Is there anybody else? Oh, okay, you didn't put your name on the list. Okay, but go ahead. No. Well, I just read.
That's okay.
Just come up. Just
people
come on.
People that still want to speak, why don't you just line up? The people that still, if you want to speak,
oh, I called your name and you
so
didn't come up.
Because we don't have your name.
Okay. Go ahead and go up, so then you can.
Yeah.
Come up. Yeah. Just get in line.
You need the mic. You need the mic.
Good afternoon. My name is Bill Gibbons. And I came here to support Julian Assange. I don't know why KPFA isn't supporting him well, even though Dennis Bernstein and Randy Credical have done an excellent job.
Yeah, they have.
And then I want to say that Bonnie Faulkner is the real jewel of KPFA. You know, she doesn't lie to support billionaires, and everybody's giving Amy Goodman credit all the time, and she's made millions. Bonnie is doing this for free, and her reporting is excellent. She brought up something never broached on KPFA before. That was the role of Jewish power in Congress and the role of Israel in 9-1-1. So I just say, but we need Bonnie Faulkner.
Yeah, lucky Dennis isn't here.
Thank you. I also came in support of Julian Assange, but then the surprise about Bonnie Faulkner's show came up. So I'm asking you or beseeching you, and it's suicide if you don't, reinstate Bonnie Faulkner. I'm sure most KPFA listener supporters come to the station for connection to community that supports truth and alternative analysis and viewpoints. Don't make us turn away from you in that search. We can go anywhere for endless anti-Russia scapegoating, establishment narrative, and censorship. We don't need KPFA for that. I'll just say that I am of Jewish heritage. I'm a U.S. citizen, but I choose to identify as a human being in search of truth. The truth, press freedom is under attack, and KPFA is increasingly abandoning its true cause. I don't have time to stuff everything into 1 minute. I think this is a travesty, but thank you.
Thank you. Please do not yell out. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Mike, and I'd just like to say from the bottom of my heart, I so much thank Bonnie Faulkner for her 17 years of absolutely amazing, wonderful work on her fabulous program, Guns and Butter. She's wonderful. And, you know, I've been listening for about 12 years, and it was the most amazing, most informative program that I've ever heard on KPFA. Flashpoints is wonderful. Twitwit Radio is wonderful. There are many other wonderful programs on KPFA, but this was so unique. It was a jewel, and shame on KPFA management for canceling her and her program and for taking her archives off the air. She put people on the air like Professor Peter Dale Scott, Professor Michelle Chosadowski, Dr. William Pepper, F. William Engdahl, Professor David Ray Griffin, many, many more. And now, just because she made a huge error in inviting this crackpot Holocaust denier on her show, 12 or more years
thank you.
Of
time.
Extremely informative. Interviewing is now down the toilet. She was treated like
thank
garbage,
you.
Like trash, and it's outrageous.
Thank you.
Thank
time.
You.
Is there anyone else? Thank you. What is your name, sir?
Brian Wallace.
Thank you, Brian.
And if we're not defending that integrity, the integrity and just intelligence and depth of Guns and Butter and Bonnie, you know, what are we, there's lots that sort of thin on the surface that seems to be being generated even more. And, you know, this is central to our lives and deeply uncovered. And 9-1-1, where else have we heard anything at all? Even across our own airwaves. So it's ridiculous, and she should absolutely be, it should be strongly stated somehow from this body right now that she should be back on the air.
Thank you. Okay. Just as a recap before we break into little groups, which we're going to do our workshops, just to notify people, some people don't understand our role here at the local station board. We don't hire and fire programmers. We don't determine programming. What we do is we give input, and we will be talking with the manager about this at our next meeting. And I just wanted to, like, somebody said, well, I think they think we could just put a program back on, but that's not our role. Our role is a different role in governance. So I wanted to state that. And check the governance chart on the back table. And it is a personnel matter, and we will be meeting on it next meeting.
Is that an open meeting?
No. It will be an open meeting for most of it. But for public comments, it will be open, but because it's a personnel matter, that portion of it will be in closed because there are laws governing the state of California, people who work. We will report that we had a meeting. There will be a report out. There will be a report out. Thank you. We will be talking to him in the next meeting. Not unilaterally, but yes, we have input. We don't have the right to just fire. Right. No, we have our governing board and the bylaws provide that we have input in evaluating, but we don't just. Yeah. So I would like. Yes. You had a question.
Yeah, just a very short question. Since most of the people here would like to see Bonnie back, why don't we make the rest of the meeting here discussing strategy for bringing her back? What are we going to do?
We actually have workshops, and that's one of the workshops. So you're free to attend in that particular workshop. We have different things people wanted to focus on, and they're all written up. So that would be the workshop you would be in for sure. So go ahead.
So as of this time, we have 5 workshops. We have Guns and Butter. We have Julian Assange. We have Community Radio, which is about governance and how the station is organized. We have outreach, which we'll be talking about distribution of the 5,000 new program guides we have, and we have Pacifica. So those are our 5 topics. I'd like to see how many people are interested in the Guns and Butter one. Okay.
You could take their chairs.
I'm thinking, how about if you guys all meet back there in that large area where there's a lot of chairs. Don't move yet, but let's just figure out the logistics. So in the back will be the Guns and Butter. How many people are interested in a Julian Assange group? Okay, so let's have Julian Assange up here in the corner by the stage. How many people are interested in Pacifica?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could be many things, as you know. So Community Radio, how many people?
Combine them.
And Pacifica. So how about Community Radio and Pacifica over here on this side?
That's too crowded.
How about over here on this side?
Okay, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Pacifica to Sharon. Go stand over there. Craig is going to do Guns and Butter with Betsy back there. I'm going to do outreach over there at the round table. And Julian Assange. Rich. Rich, where do you want to meet?
You said over there.
Okay, very good. I think we... Right there in that corner. Okay.
Tom? Yes?
Tom?
Yes, is this on? Yeah. Are we going to record any of these?
The groups, are we recording it?
So please, each group has a facilitator, and you may choose a scribe if you would like to.
It won't be recorded on this.
All shares will be timed by your facilitators. You can figure out how much time you want to use for your group.
But we're coming back together, too.
And then we'll come back together, but there will not be long-term report outs. So we ask that you turn in written material to the LSB. If you would like paper, it's available up here.
I think
we could do is at the end we could not record for now, and then at the end we could have the recording of the final.
Okay, each group can have a designated report out. We have five groups, so that'll be maybe 5 minutes each at the most.
So not recording now.
Yeah. Okay, but
the senior center. Please, we have to do this. Please.
It's a law.
If you're going to meet with each other, please do it outside.
It's like a yearly, once a year.
You'd like to be part of the rest of the meeting? Sit down.
No, we'll have it another quarter. The next quarter we'll have another one.
No, we haven't had it for many years.
Please.
Okay, people, please sit down.
Stop the meetings.
Sit down, and then we can talk. We can have reports out from all the groups. So if people could please stop talking. Or take your conversations outside, please, please. And respect the group, okay? Because that's what community is, right? It's group. So, herding cats. Okay. I'm going to just start with my report out. So we met with the Pacifica and Community Radio Group over here, and we had an interesting discussion about a lot of different thoughts about what people might want to see in the future. We shared a lot of thoughts.
You
one person
back there.
I'm fine. I think one person said that she was curious to hear what the LSB has been doing. So, you know, we have talked about many, many things. We on the LSB had proposals that we had submitted to the national board. Anyway. We just had a lot of different talks about the bylaws, about the governance structure, about the finances, and that was about it. I don't know what else to say. Anybody else? Yeah, we didn't come to any agreements. We just admit that there's a problem.
One other thing that came up was people wanting involvement with communities and dealing with issues like what's happening in Oakland or what's happening in different areas, and there was some discussion about the issues of how the governance is in relation to Pacifica being a whole entity or more separate. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Thank you.
What's the next group?
Tom?
Next group,
Tom? I was just going
to
say let's set a time limit so we get all
five
of the reports
each.
In.
No, we don't have that much.
No,
do.
Just
3 minutes? 2 minutes each? Okay. Just 2 minutes each. I think that's good, Tom. Thank you.
Okay, and if the person that gives the report can identify themselves and also the breakout group that they're speaking for.
Thank you, Tom. So that's a great idea. Let's do that, please. So Betsy would be the next group would be...
Mike.
Sorry.
I need to be back here. You can have this mic right here. It'll be...
Tom. Could
you
get
your
mic over
there to
her, please? Sorry.
You
have the mic.
Okay.
So,
thanks.
Okay.
So I was the scribe, which meant I basically wrote down to the best of my ability what I heard. This was a group strongly focused on supporting Bonnie and getting the show back on the air. There were a number of strategies that people came up with to basically organize and go public with the issue. And there was also questions about how much fundraising mattered and what are the resources available to this particular group and this campaign. And Bonnie spoke and answered questions. I invite people to take pictures and to see the different questions, resources, and feelings that also emerged, as well as two pages of solutions and strategies. Do you want to hear? So let me start by, is this all right? So anyone who wants to work more or hear updates on this campaign to get Guns and Butter back on the air should go to the gunsandbutter.org website and sign up. There's already a list of supporters and many commentators. There's also an opportunity then to stay in touch with other people who are interested in putting together a petition campaign, potential picketing, reaching out to larger Pacifica audiences, and also in setting up an alternative fundraising strategy as well, to through basically to pressure the general manager and potentially the local community board and the Pacific board to not just reconsider the decision, but take action to remedy. There was also some feelings that these are this is longer trends and not so much hope about what's going on. And I invite you to look at the real words there. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And there was another group that we had that was Julian Assange group.
You can use that mic too, maybe.
First of all, before I do it, I would like to thank Betsy for actually putting up these sheets, these flow sheets, which I unfortunately was unaware of, and I write it as, so I just wanted to thanks. But anyway, I'm Richard Stone. I've been on the community advisory board for 3 years, and for all those, I'm sure everyone here is pretty much concerned to a certain degree on what could possibly be happening to Julian Assange, and as a result of that, our group has pretty much decided to submit these proposals to the LSB. First and foremost, I think it's probably important to know that that Steve Zeltzer himself is actually took the initiative to create a Julian Assange support group for all actions that will be going forward. That will be doing in regards to taking actions on the street and otherwise, and other notable ideas that we came up with is to petition the programmers to do more Julian Assange related events, and that's including having carts announced and any type of events, and also to have a form. Of a, of a debate or discussion mostly the merits of Julian Assange and what he has actually stood for in terms of free speech and on any of the KPFA news related shows such as Upfront or Flashpoint, and going back to the shows more specifically. Steve and others on the list is going to form a rally for Julian Assange at the British Consulate on 5th September at 12 noon on 1 Sansom Street, and also to have a rally on Julian's behalf, providing that he actually wedded if he does get arrested, to actually form a rally at 24-hour notice, and as well to at some point in the future, and Steve would be able to provide the date for it, to have a live stream educational forum regarding Julian at the Neeble Proctor Marxist Library.
Thank you very much. Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. I think this was like a very constructive meeting. I'm really grateful, and I hope that you all come to our next town hall meeting, and you are always welcome to come as audience for our board, local station board meetings as well. So thank you very much for coming, and I'll let our wonderful secretary make another announcement.
Please help yourself to some of our program guides on the red table back there, and distribute them. And if you have people or events. We're going to be at the Petaluma Progressive Festival next week, but we really want to get out. Maybe Craig will take them to San Jose. Maybe we can get some people to go to San Francisco with some of them. So we want to get them out into the community. So help us with that if you'd like. Help yourself to some program guides. Thanks.
And let's thank our three officers for putting on a great meeting.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your weekend, people.
We do need to be out of the room, so if you could help me.
Move to adjourn.
Second, we're adjourned.
Meeting is adjourned.